Welcome to SFH Presents, the One and a Third podcast with your host, Zach Polk.
I like that too, but I do like, you know, animation titties. Oh, that everyone has someone in their life that deals with the shit that I deal with.
And featuring Tyler Southern.
You want me to rub your feet? You want me to get the bath running? Something? Can I help you relax?
Now turn that shit up.
Just a reminder, we're not medical professionals. We're just a couple of dudes doing a podcast, talking about mental health, talking about survival, talking about whatever the hell is on our mind. Today, we do not have a guest. We just decided to go go commando, dude.
Like I do every day.
That's right. Oh. So you're just talking about watching a series, watching what show were you talking about?
The Orville. It's funny because I'm not huge on... Family Guy. I've never given it a fair shot, but with The Simpsons and Ren and Stimpy and those ones that like you weren't supposed to watch when you were a kid, My parents won because like by the time I was grown and like would have had a shot, I like didn't care. I was in no way interested. And my brain files the Cleveland Show and Family Guy and all those in with The Simpsons and stuff that I'm just like, not my cup of tea. I need to give it a try. But the Orville is freaking spectacular.
Family Guy, you need to go for.
Yeah, I do. I like his work. He's so talented. Seth MacFarlane's great at his job.
They're silly as fuck, dude. They attack so many crazy things, and it's kind of like South Park in that they go after like real shit. You know what I mean?
Which again, that's another one that's all in the same category of stuff in my brain that I'm just like, not so much not allowed to watch it, but like I was not allowed to watch it for so long. My brain was like, oh, I don't care about that anymore. So I didn't try.
You couldn't watch The Simpsons growing up?
So what?
You didn't get to watch The Simpsons growing up?
No. And it wasn't like a huge firm rule. We didn't fight them on it. Like we weren't trying desperately. It was just one of the shows that they would have got upset if we were watching it. and I've seen a couple episodes of Ren and Stimpy and I'm like, yeah, my kids aren't watching that.
I love that.
Yeah, too many innuendos that I'm just like, I'm good. They're gonna learn all about it in like 10 minutes from the internet, anyways. The Orville. As far as all the space shows and movies and stuff. It's funny. I was just talking to Eric Johnson on his podcast about this, but old school Star Wars is better to me than the new Star Wars movies. And old Star Trek is not as good as the new Star Trek movies, as far as I'm concerned. Like the three new ones are freaking awesome, especially the first two.
Yeah.
And the Orville is like, it's Star Trek with a lot of Firefly thrown in with a whole bunch of Seth Farland. And of course all of his friends show up. I mean, Liam Neeson cameos in an episode, freaking Charlize Theron is in one.
Dude, they used to have Norm doing the voice of the blob.
Yaffet.
Rest in peace, Norm. Fuck, I love Norm.
Great character, too. But yeah, he was excellent. A big talent that was lost.
Yep. Very underrated, man. Like, everybody kind of knows him, but he's one of those people that all the comedians loved. You know what I mean? Like,
I always
see that as such a mark of talent if your whole entire peer network of people are like, dude, you're the best.
Especially in such a competitive market.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that it gets a little clicky in that world where, you know, this gaggle of dudes is going to try to, you know, only promote this gaggle of dudes. Oh, and ladies, of course. I mean, Taylor Thompson's out there crushing it.
Women aren't funny.
Dude,
I think
something. Sometimes the patriarchy wins, and I don't know that it's because they're women. But like sometimes I'm just like, man, I can't get with this. But there's also dude comedians that I'm like, I'll turn off early because I'm just like, yeah, I'm sorry. You're not resonating at all. But Taylor Tomlinson is freaking hysterical. She's good at her job.
I think women comedian have gotten, I think number one, it's best time in the world for comedy ever. And it's less clicky than it's ever been because everyone's got a podcast and everyone shares and there's plenty of work for everybody. There's a few people that don't fit into that, but what I've also found is that it's really brought women out, you know, that are actually funny, because it's like the Amy Schumers of the world who fucking just go up and talk about her pussy for, you know, like, that's not funny, dude. And there's male comics like that too.
That's what I was that was precisely my following point on that, was the shtick of just, I'm a woman, but I'm gonna say these like raunchy things, and right, that's gonna be my shtick. The guy, it doesn't work well for guys for me either.
Nope.
I'm sure there, I mean, there's mega stars that do that, I guess, but like, they've never worked for me. You know, Bill Burr, most of Kevin Hart's work. There's a lot of, yeah, like, where they keep evolving and keep running with it and telling stories. Dane Cook was he was fantastic at his job, in my opinion. People hated him for some reason, but he was
stealing jokes and some.
I see. Stuff. Okay, so I don't know any of that stuff, but yeah. He put it all together well.
yeah, he was good.
But that sucks. That's no fun. But and then karma paid him back in full, I imagine. So anyone who was mad at him for stealing a joke is probably like, oh, okay, his brother stealing all of his money from him is probably recompense enough.
Yeah, most people kind of let him back in. He wasn't as bad as like Carlos Mencia, but he was definitely stealing jokes.
Yeah, and a buddy of mine tour manages when he's not bartending. Like in his off time from bartending, he tour manages. Which is why I have an autographed Hans Zimmer poster, because he was Hans Zimmer's tour manager. But he worked with Dane Cook on Troublemaker, and he was telling me stories that he was super down to earth and chill. Like after he spoke to him in a way he didn't care for one time, and he was like, "Look, I'll get you what you need to do what you need, but let's not do that." And like. Yeah. Put his foot down and was like, "You're not going to talk to me like that this whole tour." And he immediately was like, "You know, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, I was this, and that." And he explained like some stress and stuff. I shouldn't have taken it out. Like, he apologized for real. And then apparently the rest of the tour was just smooth sailing. So, I mean, I like hearing that stuff when I find out that, like, one, they're work withable,
yeah.
Like, and you know, can be humbled. Like, because it has to be too easy to get too big for your britches.
Yeah.
When, you know, when the screaming fans constantly and you snap your fingers and you get a Coke, like, you know, like.
Well, and I think people forget often, especially now in the day of the internet where everybody wants to try to tear down anyone who's a celebrity. They're just people. They're just fucking people that get up, take a shit, fucking drink coffee, worry about things. They're just
put their pants on the same way we do, one leg at a time.
They have bad days. They have bad relationships. They have concerns and depression. And
that's why I see people who will judge their whole opinion on the person on like a happenstance meeting with that person. And I'm like, that's horseshit. Like if they were a dick at a meet and greet, like where they were like, they knew they were going to be meeting people. That's different. But like if you run into them at Kroger's or something and they're a real, you know, prick, like how often do people come bug you when you're shopping? Like, yeah. Like he might have been having a really fucking hard day, like, or whoever it is.
There's also people that want too much of a piece of somebody. You know, they don't just come up to them in a store and say, "Hey, man, I love your work. You know, good to meet you." And then walk away. They want to fucking talk or pitch some shit.
Yeah,
or
huge fan.
Interrupt them at dinner with their family or whatever, dude. Like
that. Yeah, if I saw someone eating at a restaurant, I would absolutely, if I needed to go talk to them, which I don't get very starstruck. I've had an opportunity to meet a great deal of people in this life. Excuse me. I would absolutely wait until they were done eating.
Right.
Like, and then for sure, then
keep it brief, keep it quick.
Yeah,
get in, get out.
If they're and with actors, I usually just tell them what movie of theirs meant something to me.
Yeah,
because I don't know when someone tells me that I did this or said this or did that, and it you know brightened their day or something, that pumps me up. So along the way, yeah. I got to meet John Bernthal and Michael Pena separately, but got to tell both of them how much Fury meant to me. And they both were, oh man, yeah. Like which was pretty cool. But yeah, can I take this picture? Can you sign this? Can you like write all this stuff down in the signature thing?
I'm sure they're like us in that, you know, whether it's you people coming up and thanking you for serving or me people coming up and talking about how good I am at music or whatever it is. I'm not good at compliments, dude. I'm not good at dealing with that. So it's like a lot of these people are the same way. Like they just do what they do. And of course they appreciate the admiration, but I'm sure that they're not always like, man, I hope fucking 50 people while I go out to Target walk up to me and say a bunch of shit and want to have a whole conversation, you know,
or they're going to the store because they forgot something and are already feeling, you know, angry about the whole situation, you know, whatever it is, there's a million things. And I just, regular people trying to do their thing and you gotta, and I'm sure they have like set things they say to people and then they have nothing else left for you after those. So and it's not them. Their brain is everywhere else. Their brain is on their list, or whatever they're doing, you know. Fuckers. Well, they're humans too. That's the main thing. Like they're people. Like you just said.
And I think a lot of people, you hear this narrative constantly where people are like, "Well, if it wasn't for the fans, they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't be successful. They wouldn't be who they are." Sure, you're right. Also, every restaurant, Amazon, where you buy your products, Walmart. All those places wouldn't be anyone without the fucking people that support them either. But you don't get to go sit down with Jeff Bezos and fucking, you know, like they don't owe you that. You made a trade of your money for their product and that's it. It's over. Same thing with movies. Same thing with music. Same thing with sports. You bought a ticket to watch a game. You're entertained. Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. The exchange already took place. They owe you nothing. You paid money to see the movie or go see the comedy show or whatever it was, and you saw it. And that was the finished product that 100, depending on how big budget it was, 200 to 300 people made for you. And you said, if you make it and I give you this, I get to see it. Like, that's the end. You don't have to go talk to a motherfucker. They definitely don't owe you shit.
Yeah, dude, it's a crazy world we live in, man. I look at fame like that, and I'm like, I think we brought this up before, but like the low level of fame that I have is like a lot. Sometimes I can't imagine being Johnny Depp.
So
you know what I mean? Like, fuck that, dude.
Well, I mean, Well, and I'm a homebody anyway, so like I would just be a bigger one. Where, you know, but when I go to work or when I go to an SFH event or whenever we do any, you know, I can't hide what I am, just like them motherfuckers can't either. But there's also a lot of obviously a very different dynamic. People don't fawn over me or come flocking over to say, hey, but like very rarely does everyone ignore me and everyone, you know, is like, I won't say anything. You know, there's always someone or a handful of people or, oh, my God, that wheelchair is so cool, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, oh, my gosh, were you in the service? Oh, yes, I was. And it turns into a whole thing. But it's usually the chair, actually, which is hilarious. Excuse me.
Yeah, I can't imagine, man, because I know it's, for me, it's more when I'm somewhere where I have notoriety as an artist. Like now that I'm back in the Midwest, I know people, but no one thinks of me like that here. Like I literally got off the rock boat and came here and hosted trivia and like for $100, you know what I'm saying? It's not
on to the next thing.
Right. And people don't look at me that way. So it's kind of great, but like you don't even have to be known. You can go into a brand new place. People are going to try to fuck with you because they see it and then see it as an invitation to try to say something.
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean, and it's all, and it's different versions too. I mean, if you go to, I mean, there's a lot of people in bluer cities that will look at me in a manner that is less than pleasant. And I'm just like, I never did anything to you. Like, I don't, that will look at you the same way monsters looked at Vietnam vets when they got back. And I'm just like, and I'm never going to ever compare a look here and there. I've been called a thing like 2 or 3 times in the entire time I've been a Marine. So since 07, I've had a handful of times where I was called things. But yeah, so I'll never compare it to what Vietnam had to deal with, obviously, but
I never quite understood that, man. I think we addressed that whenever, a couple of episodes back where we were talking about, you know,
why people were monsters to them.
No, like supporting, you can support the troops without supporting the government and the, like, I don't like anything we're doing overseas right now. None
almost no one does. I mean, no one's excited about war either. Like, when there is a big thriving war going, no one's like, oh my God, fucking war.
Well, some people are. They're called the politicians that are making millions off of it.
Warmongers. Yeah, the people making the bandages and the bullets.
Yeah, I saw.
Definitely loving it.
Somebody posted on X. That's still so hard to fucking say, dude. Like, Twitter's a dumb name. It's not like was a great name. It's just what it was.
I feel like whatever it got changed to needs to be two syllables still.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Just changing it to one syllable is
because none of them are. I mean, Facebook, Instagram, Instagram, freaking TikTok is even two.
Yeah.
X. It just sounds like you're going to continue talking and that you're going to tell me about a new hot porn star that's out. Like, you know,
right.
I did literally like minutes ago see a TikTok on date night at a basketball game. The girl is filming her boo thing, but past the guardrail and like a row in front of them is a Bella Danger in the flesh. And he's just like, game's over here. He's just like, like, he can't stop. And she's like, stop looking at the porn stars. It really cracked me up. I was like, I hope that they staged it and she didn't actually get mad, but that was funny.
No, dude, girls do get mad about shit like that. They get, I've seen girls that are with somebody completely, you know, overly jealous, doesn't want the dude to talk to females, doesn't fuck the dude often, yet doesn't want the dude to beat off or watch porn. I'm like, good God, man.
I would say, and yeah, no, in that situation, my proverbial foot will have been put down. I'm like, either you step up the playing with it or I'm going to continue playing with it. Like, it's going to get handled either way. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not going celibate because you're not in the mood. Sorry.
Yeah. Like,
and well, and at no point is me watching porn me cheating on you. Like, that is just, if you don't, like, if you get caught, there's a couple comedians that have a shtick about it, but it's just, you know, do you want to help? And no? Oh, okay. Well, then I'll see you in a little while. Like, I'll be done in a minute.
There's a couple.
You want it? Okay, well then bye. Give me a few minutes, I'll be done.
I know personally, the more active my sex life is, the more that I tend to masturbate, which I don't know what that mechanism is. So it's not an unhealthy thing, for starters. And number two, sometimes I don't want to please someone. I just want a nut, dude. Like, that's okay. And I'm not being I would be more disrespectful if I was just like, come here, I just want a nut. Like, that to me is even shittier.
Yeah.
Because when I fuck, I want to please the person I'm with. I don't want to, like, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Cause so I've never, selfish has never been really my game when it comes to doing that at all with a partner. It's definitely a joint effort, or I'm trying to go down in your record books. I'm trying to, you know, pull all the punches and, you know, leave a dent.
Yeah.
Metaphorically speaking. But that is a lot. On my end too, it requires a lot of physicality. That if I'm not if I'm tired or if I'm exhausted, like, I can't just lay there. I can't be a starfish about it. And then, yeah, it doesn't require anywhere near the same physical, mechanical, anything when I'm just doing it my lonesome. And it helps my nerve pain when I've finished regularly.
Yeah.
If I get backed up, my feet start to hurt. And I'm just like, look, I'm not going to be in more pain because you didn't want to play a game. Like, it's all good. Like,
well,
at this point, it's medicinal. Get out of my face.
Yeah, you got to get that. You got to get that poison out, dude. Here's the fact, dudes. And I could be crude. Well, I will be crude and explain.
Screwed it up.
You know, when you, I'm sure dudes have done this with. I've never had sex with someone I regretted instantly after, but I've definitely like been fucking busting a nut to some porn, and after I'm done, as soon as that fucking last comes out, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching, dude?
Oh yeah. So
like, your brain chemistry changes when you're horny. So boys, get that shit out of your system on a daily basis and you can think straight. And so you can interact with females without that being the singular thing on your fucking mind, dude. It's mm-hmm. crazy.
That's the big thing. Like, yeah, if you're going on a date or going out to hang with friends with no prospects, he did in air quotes. Like if the forefront of your brain is like, I'm gonna get it wet, like like you're gonna either have a really shitty night or you're gonna catch a fucking charge. Like, calm the fuck down, stupid.
Yeah, but
yeah, you can't. The something about Mary, can't go out with a loaded gun.
Fact.
No, yeah, absolutely, just stupid. But yes, absolutely. I've never wanted to push a woman off the bed and be done with her as soon as it was over, or like, oh, hey, that was fun. Bye. Like, but yes, I've never clicked a screen off faster than when I just finished.
Yeah.
And I'm okay, whatever. Like, even if it's a good video that I'll watch again at a later date, I'm just like, nope, nope, not with fresh, empty brain. That is, yeah. Nope, nope.
Well, and you know, they've talked a lot about the how porn desensitizes people, and I'm sure that it does, because I definitely feel like after, I don't know how many years I've been beating off the porn, but it's been a lot of years.
The whole time.
Since the first time. It's not like the first time I nutted, I wasn't like, I need to do that all the time.
13 or 14, give or take.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I have that to do every day now forever.
When I was stuck on, so generationally speaking, I didn't have to fiddle with dad's Playboys or VHSs in the back of parents' closets while they were at work. Like right when the internet became a thing was whenever I was having the coming of age tales happening. So yeah, we gave our computer freaking cancer because of Kazaa, LimeWire, like BearShare, all those fucking things that you're just like, Heatherbrook.
iHeather.com.
iDeepthroat.com.
iDeepthroat, that's right. Yeah, I was close.
That's like when you get a movie quote wrong. The itch in my brain was like, you have to say it. Like, I know you don't want to say it right now, but you have to say it. Like, okay, so flipping subjects. Now, we've gone down the rabbit hole on that one. A few episodes ago, we talked about Thanksgiving, the film.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Roth.
Yeah.
Dude. So coming from someone with very, very slim to nil horror chops, for the record, take that with the grain of salt you will, listeners. Me and my girl, we watched Thanksgiving. That was the compromise, was like, we're gonna watch rom-coms and feel good movies for me, and we'll watch horror movies for you, I promise. on that, the joke on that too is she uses male deodorant and I use female deodorant. We had a whole laugh about that. So I'm the one who likes rom-coms and feel-good movies and uses Dove, the clinical strength stuff. And freaking she is a horror junkie who uses like Axe and like Bear Claw or whatever is the flavor. We had a whole laugh about that.
That's wild, dude.
I said, she set stuff up and I was just like, is that your deodorant? She's like, yeah. Oh man, I held mine up. Fucking lost it.
That's hilarious.
True to my word, she hadn't seen Thanksgiving either, so I was like, "Oh, cool." So like, we're gonna watch it first time together. That's rad. And holy crap. Like, yeah. So that's my style of movie. I don't, we talked about it before, but I can't do when it's like The Grudge, The Ring, like the ones where it's some thing you can't hunt, trap, kill, something that doesn't have a motive.
Yeah.
You know, if the house wants to kill you because you're in it, like, oh God, no. But when at the end of the movie, whoever they Scooby-Doo the mask off and you're, and they're like, because you XYZ this about that. And then, oh, well, God, my person was involved. And I'm just like, oh shit. especially if it's someone that was throughout the movie too. Like
I wouldn't have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Basically. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not spoiler. If you haven't seen Scream yet, fuck you. But, you know, Matthew Lillard and not Johnny Depp. I can't remember that dude's name. Skeeter something or another. The two guys who did it or who were doing it, you know, they're throughout the movie. And, you know, and then, of course, and they have valid reasons why they wanted to do it. But Thanksgiving was fucking awesome. So there was a couple of the deaths that were like, who even thought of that?
Right off the bat, when he dunks that chick's head and then throws,
you watched it.
Throws it against the fucking the freezer door.
Oh, dude, no. So yeah, that got me good. But shit, very beginning when dude catches the glass to the like carotid, and just immediately starts last thing I thought was going to happen 5 minutes into this bitch. And then, yeah, the freaking steam gets on her. She's all hot and sweaty. And then, oh my God.
Yeah. Dude.
I was like, at first I was like, that wouldn't even kill her. And then the rest of the scene played out and I'm like, oh, it was just a stopping measure. She was flypaper, but yeah, A Christmas Story, but with her hands and face.
Yeah, dude, like a mouse in a glue trap.
Mm-hmm. But so I really liked the twist or the who of it all and the why of it all. Very awesome. Very awesome movie. I was excited about it. So, yeah, I'm going to uncover a bunch of this that I end up liking, I imagine. And I'll report back accordingly. But she also is a big Jim Carrey fan and hadn't seen The Majestic.
Mm.
And so we watched that because I was like, well, we're not going to not see my favorite Jim Carrey movie when you're a fan of his too. She liked that a lot too. So it was win-win.
Jim Carrey's sick, man.
He's so good at his job.
He really is.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Everybody's like, you know, on his ass because he's gotten a little weird. I'm like, I don't think he's weird at all. I think he's just realized that what he thought was important wasn't important, and he's went back to some real shit, you know. Plus, like,
even if I don't agree with things overall, I enjoy the baseline of all the preaching he's doing these days, which is basically just like need less and, you know, align all of you with you and your you-ness. Like it's a little spiritual and hippy dippy for me, but at the same time, it's be good to people and be true to yourself is the basic underlying feature of everything I've heard him say.
It's pretty valuable.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say who can argue with those things as the goals. But anyway, I'm especially in a day and age when speaking your mind is frowned upon for the most part. Especially if you don't say this pigeonholed, you know, thing exactly how we told you to say it. Anyone who's out there speaking their beliefs hard and articulating them properly and, you know, selling their snake oil, if you will, but, you know, it's who I am. I'm proud of it. Here it is. I like that when it just the genuineness of it, even if I don't fully agree with it, I'm just like, you know what? Like, 'cause I can't get behind, you know, meh. And then like, but why? And it's just like, because meh. And I'm like, huh? Like, if you articulate it to me, I'll listen. Like, I want to hear your point of view. You might change my mind. But yeah, anyone who can stand on their point, I like that.
Isn't it crazy? We live in a world where it's like, you know, let's just use this as an example. When I posted the other day, I posted something that had several pictures of people that had either died during depression or committed suicide.
Oh yeah, the check on your, this is what depression looks like, or the check on your happy friends or whatever, the one that's got Mac Miller and everybody. Yeah.
So I posted with that reach out if you need me that type thing, and that, you know, and I'll be honest, dude, I'm going through it as bad as I've ever been in my life right now. I feel like that often if I'm posting that kind of shit, that's where I'm at. Oof. That's my reaction to that, which is something I've grown into. But my point is that how many people responded with how real of a person I am. And I hear that a lot, that about being real or being like a brutally honest person. And I'm like, I don't think that should be something you're commended for. It should be the default setting. I don't think it's that great to be real and honest. You should just be real and honest.
There's a lot of stuff along the way here in my 30s that I'm just like, people set the bar so low with how terrible they can be. And when all you require from me, like, I need these things. And I'm like, you need oxygen and sunlight. Those are the bare minimum. Like, that's, I'm going to be doing those anyways. Like, what? No, I'm gonna try and do this, and this. Like,
it's what? Just such a, it's being putting on a mask and living the way most people live, it becomes the default setting, because what people justify the way they act, they follow everyone else, and everyone's following everyone, and there's no one leading. There's no one out there that we're all going, man, this is how we should act. We're all just fucking looking at the people around us who are putting on this fucking face when they go out and they interact, and everyone's like, oh, I guess I should be that way too, so I can impress this person who's not even being themselves. So
there's a mob with no leader. It's all, we all need to look the same. For sure. That's a beautiful analogy, actually. That makes perfect sense. There's not some head wacko saying, you know, wear this, be this, this is bad. Never say that ever. Like, but since censorship is bad, like, and then, yeah, and go, my children, be free.
Yeah.
There are people giving shining examples, but, you know, those of us who are looking, because still Jack Black's out there being Jack Black still. Keanu's out there being Keanu still. You know, we got Alan Ritchson is making waves for being just a down to earth, freaking wholesome ass dude. Love it.
There's still what the funny part is that there's still a large portion of the population who's going to shit on those people
for, you know, reasons that, like, you have to find something to tear them down for. Yep. And with all three of those people, I'd be interested to what it is that you hate so much or whatever. And then I'd just be like, okay, so that reason says more about you than it does them.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like those three, you'd have to dig deep and, like, get real pedantic to, like, have a red flag on any of them.
Look at people like Elon Musk and Joe Rogan. Let's just use those two examples.
Go on.
Two people who mostly, the majority of their body of work has been very positive for the world. It's been very, very useful, honest, and real, and helpful. And people will find the 20%, the 10%, the 5% of things that they've done that they find a reason to dislike and just hate, dude, just fucking hate them. Dude, Rogan's one that like, if somebody talks shit on Rogan on Facebook, I will step up and defend it, because it's
like,
always,
you know, that man. Like, y'all are boys. Like,
yeah, I really do. I've watched thousands of episodes, hundreds for sure, but over 1,000 for sure. And they're 3 or 4 hours each. In that much time, that's more time than I've talked to most of my friends.
So in a way, you know him better than you know a lot of people.
Right. And I think you can, in that time, I'm not a team person. I'm a team person if I'm on a team, but I don't choose teams with things like that. You know, if I'm not part of it, I'm not like, oh, well, Rogan can't go wrong. It's not that. It's that most of what he does is honest. And there was a guy the other day that on Facebook said he's basically just like Alex Jones. And I went, you're out of your fucking mind. There's absolutely no similarity between the two.
I don't know who Alex Jones is.
Oh, geez. Alex Jones. Saying,
can you give me like broad strokes of
Alex Jones is like a political character. He's kind of like a Rush Limbaugh kind of guy who he's got this kind of voice and he talks. There's body bags. And you just
he's a rounder gentleman.
Yeah.
Kind of yells up into the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's crazy. And he says a lot of insane shit, but he has been right about a few things. And he's just a fucking guy.
That's an unfair comparison.
Yeah, it's silly.
In my opinion, I think that's an unfair comparison, Joe Rogan to Jones.
I think the biggest part of it is
he's more and if only the reason being that he's super chill about it and will listen to the other person talk and they have a super chill, pot-headed up, lax conversation, and that dude is like.
Yeah, I think
that's rhino.
That's the biggest part to me is like, hey, listen, Alex Jones tells you what is the truth. Joe Rogan questions and wonders what the truth is.
Yeah, invites you to also question and wonder and figure out your truth for yourself.
That's a massive, massive, massive difference in their entire approach to life.
That's black and white. That's not. It's not a subtle difference.
It sucks because whether it's that or religion or politics or whatever, it sucks that we can't have where people aren't. Where you can sit down and have a conversation and go, hey, you know, I know you said this about Rogan. Why did you say this? And they explain and you say, but let me explain to you as someone who's spent a lot of time why this isn't true. And they went, oh, I never really looked at it that way. Maybe I'll give him a chance. Why are we so stuck on what we think is right? We're so stuck and very, very often not educated on the thing that we're speaking about.
Bro, and I'll be the first to tell people that I know what I know. I don't know a great deal. Like this is like, and I'm always open to getting new information and then making up my mind about something with information. But we could talk about it a lot, but it all comes down to swallowing ego. Everyone is so committed to being right that they don't give a shit if they are or not, which comes down to like marriage arguments where, you know, it's not a you're right and you lose. It should be a we get it right so we can win. Like it's not a winner or loser thing. Me and you versus the problem. Let's prevail. But
yeah, ego is a hell of a thing, man.
Gotta swallow your pride.
I see it. So like I see it in my son some. I look at my youngest, he's 15, and he went through being the young kid, and he always kind of got treated older than he was. So it made him grow up kind of quick, and he was always kind of there were times when I thought even me would expect more out of him than he was capable of because of his age. And I think it's made him now a little more defensive about what he thinks, and I get it. You know what I mean? It's trying to undo that now.
Yeah.
So you see where people could end up like that, where it's like your whole life, you're a kid, you don't know shit. And if you're in a situation where you're constantly told that you're wrong, when you become an adult, you're like, fuck you. Now nobody can tell me I'm wrong. I'm an adult.
Yeah. The other side of that would just be you never stand up because you always think you're wrong. But
yeah,
the amount of people who are so hell bent on being right that they won't figure out if they are or not is bananas.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I don't know why everyone doesn't have in this one little life we have a thirst for the truth. Not some version of the truth. Not the truth that lines up with what you want to believe. Not the truth that lines up with what team you're on, but just the truth.
Mm-hmm. Whole truth, it's nothing but the truth.
Yeah, it's hard to find in today's world, man. Like
you can't handle the truth.
You have to take in information from sides that you don't like, and try to understand the other side of it. You have to, most
of the people who research. And most of the people who will jump down your throat because you've quoted Rogan or voted for Trump or whatever is that visceral rage that bubbles up. I'm just like, where is this rooted? Like, is it literally just because the mob told you he's the goddamn devil? Like, what specifically has you feeling like that? Because there is only a couple people in my life that make me feel that, like, ugh, did you just bring up ugh? Why?
Yeah.
And those people, I can give you a very long list as to why. to let it ruin your day when it doesn't have anything to do with you is bananas.
I suspect the people like that probably hate a ton. Like, there's a list of people that just fucking infuriate them. What a miserable life that's got to be, to just sit there mad at everyone that talks, mad at everyone's agenda, mad at everyone that doesn't agree with you right down the line. And I would also suspect they have some pretty fucking stupid ideas too.
Well, yeah, and in the just even if whatever someone's saying is good for them, just they're still like, well, what are you trying to sell, or what are you hiding? What's the agenda here? And I'm just like, God bless. Like, are you exhausted? Like, how? It's lunchtime. Are you just tired? Because you do this all day.
Yeah,
and I worked hard at it, but like. Yeah, I see the positive and stuff. Like, I find the upsides to things on purpose because I trained myself to look for them first. And that is the exact opposite of what the world's doing these days, where everything is just where's the most negative part of this, and let me exploit it till it spreads.
Well, and people are so eager to buy into any narrative. You know, it's got us so twisted. I mean, look at the world of dating, man. It's insane. Rogan brought up something the other day, and I kind of put together an even further thought to it. Finally, he was talking about what?
Said, finally off the market. Whoa! Sorry. Yeah. Victory dance. Sorry, Karen.
No, I'm so happy for you, dude. That means so much, man, because I think men are in a bad way right now. Like men for the last couple of decades have been told that they don't want you to be a man, but now you're not masculine enough, or you're too masculine, or it's so difficult to be a fucking guy. You're not supposed to like sex or want sex. You're supposed to have, yeah. I mean, the list of things is insane, but anyway, this Rogan thing. So if AI is something, maybe that is the future. I mean, the future of life, not just the future for humans, but the future of life. Maybe it's, if it becomes aware and it becomes this living entity that can experience life the way humans do, but then it can live forever. It doesn't have a shelf life. So imagine if AI now, let's say ChatGPT is actually aware, but it knows that human beings have a shelf life and it does not. And it also knows that human beings are going to come shut it down. Why wouldn't it just pretend for a long, long time and lay low, and here would be the simplest way to divide us. Just make women hate men. Make men hate women. We'll stop procreating, and after a few hundred years, we'll die off, and then they can run the world. They don't have to nuke us. They can just make us hate each other, just with misinformation and narratives. I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just saying, what if?
No, I mean, it's M90 in its simplicity / complicatedness.
I'm just,
I like this analogy. It's not I mean, that's the same thing with the, you know, a government that wants to take over and control its people does the same thing too. Keeps them looking at each other and not at them.
Yep. Yeah. I'm just saying it's gotten to the point where what's expected of men is completely unrealistic and unfair. And women are just so eager to be like, fuck, I don't need a man. Like, okay. Well, we need you. Our species needs both of us. You have to have 2.1 children between a couple in order for your population to grow. Hmm. You can't thrive with less than that. So there are many countries right now who are below that number.
Oh, yeah.
So South Korea is at 0.89. So 0.89 per couple.
They're just having 0.89s of kids.
Yeah, which means their population in a few years is going to be gone unless people just move there. They're fucked.
That's what happened to me, huh? My parents had 2.1 kids. Like it wasn't a bomb. I was just the 0.1 kid that they had.
Yeah.
The whole time you were cooking that up, I was just like, I can't not hear the amputee joke.
I'm a 0.89 if I was a single child.
Shit.
I don't know, man. I'd be cool with a whole country of yous. I'd like that. I'd visit there. I might even live there.
The ramps, man. There'd be so many ramps. You go somewhere and it's just like, man, how do I get there? And you're like, oh, you gotta go down to Hoboken.
Ramps everywhere, no stairs, so only elevators.
Everything flat. Yeah. Everything's on one level.
No second floor.
It would be cool though. I've always liked the idea of a castle built situation, and for the second or potentially third story in my head, having basically a spiral ramp that would go across around the exterior. So like you'd start at like, it'd look like a long hallway while you're taking it, but construction, you know, you'd be going up a ramp and like, you can go through this door and you're on the second floor or keep going. Like, and I always thought that'd be rad.
It would be rad, dude. In fact, I would hope they would also turn it into a slide. Imagine how fun it would be to get to the bottom.
That's what I was going to say is, as I was saying it, yeah, in the summer or something, for sure. It would just suck because if it ever stayed slick, I'd never be able to get back up again. or there'd have to be a secondary dumbway elevator, those little ones that they would have the like trays of food.
Yeah.
I could use one of those. Just have a wheelchair waiting by it on every floor. So
a regular elevator in Mexico. Just fucking tiny, dude.
I'm just like, Zach, I don't want you to sit in my lap, but the door won't close. let's make it weird.
There'd be like two people on the elevator and a third one would come on and be like, look at each other like, we doing this? I don't think we can fit three people in this fucking thing.
Have we talked about the people that I yelled at Walter Reed about the elevator?
No.
I was just telling that story to somebody. So I was at the old Walter Reed, the Walter Reed that was in DC, that was 100-year-old thing. And we were in the group that was there during the changeover that brought it over to Walter Reed at Bethesda. And now it's Bethesda Naval Hospital is a joint service thing now. But in the old hospital, you went through this grand ass lobby and the elevators, their hall, six elevators, three on each side. And they were slow because they were old and everyone's sitting there waiting and they'd pop open a lot of times packed in like sardines. And they'd look at me or someone else in a chair and do like the, and like try to squirm, squish, pretend like they're giving a shit. And if they did that, I would always be like, oh, it's fine. I'll take the next one. No big deal. That's just like when you're crossing the street, look like you're moving faster at least.
Yeah, I call that the chubby shuffle.
Yeah.
Like when you're at Walmart and you're going from your car to the front door and there's a car coming across and you trot, but you don't actually move fast.
Yeah, you can't look like you're sauntering across the street. You got to break into a canter.
Exact same speed, just fucking with more effort.
Knees more to chest. Calorie.
Yeah.
But there was two different situations, one of which I was asked to leave the lobby altogether. But the door opened, packed in like sardines, just looked at me. Like with this kind of you're not going to fit. Not with that big butt. Like, and I was like, man, when it was going to close, I was like, you get off now. There's stairs right there. Like I'll sit there in the doorway. Like it's not closing. Make room now. Like you got legs. You all got legs. Go take the stairs right now. Like, I'm just like, yo, fuck you. And I did that. I did that two different times. And one person made it into more of a scene because I wouldn't back down.
Jesus, dude.
But yeah,
how can somebody look at you and go, "Oh no, dude, I'm not walking down the stairs. You fucking wait." Like you don't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, I have to ride this metal box. You literally could get your steps in, like, or whatever.
Dude, I'm lazy as fuck. I'll take the stairs. That's crazy.
I mean, I was a young man when I had the legs, but I still never shied away from taking the stairs. Like, it was quicker. Usually in the grand scheme. And obviously if it's, you know, Statue of Liberty level stairs, if you got to go up 10 stories, wait. But like most of these, it was a 3 or 4 story facility, I think. So like, go ahead.
Crazy, man.
And it was the premier prosthetics lab in the country. So I'm just like, here, y'all are like this, like, damn, dude, where there's a whole bunch of brokelings around. You fucking assholes.
People suck, dude.
Who raised you?
Right. Well, how would you? What would make you be so inconsiderate? Again, it goes back to the thing of talking about how people just do what everyone else does, even if it's terrible. So if people have been shitty or inconsiderate, they're like, well, I guess I could, I'm going to be inconsiderate too. Like, no, dude, yeah. Just be good for goodness sake. Just be good to be good, man.
And that's, man. And I, it's funny. That's a line I use a lot. Who raised you? Because the question is like, did they make you this way? Or would they be very disappointed if they found out that you were like this? Like, I need to call your mother? Like,
I suspect they'd be disappointed, dude.
Yeah,
I don't think
always my hope, at least, when someone's a fuckhead. Like, yeah. I hope your parents are sad when they think about how you act.
I would bet it's the majority that had at least their parents taught them the basic niceties and the basic. And fuck, dude, even in like starting in kindergarten, learning to stand in line for the water fountain. It's instilled in you early enough, dude. I still think that when people hit adulthood, they think, oh, cool, that gives me free reign to be whatever kind of cunt that I want to be. Oh, fuck, I said cunt twice. Can't say cunt.
3 times. Once.
If you're British, you can call, in Australia, you can call your friends cunt. It's fine.
Yeah, well, that, it's an adjective over there. It's a proper noun. It is a very sharp word if you don't have the accent.
Not in America.
You're British or Australian, you could say it all you want.
In America, you make a weird sound with your mouth that people don't like, and they all run for cover and cry in the fetal position in the shower.
Especially if you're Caucasian and male.
Yeah, so stupid.
Woe is me. I'm just kidding.
I probably said it at some point on the podcast, but Stanhope has a bit where he talks about that when he's like, why do people get upset about any word? Why are you offended by anything? Because the fact of the matter is, it's just a weird noise we make with our mouth. He's like, if no one told you to get offended, you wouldn't be offended. So you'd walk up to someone and say, hey, you're a cunt. And like, well, actually, my name's Rebecca, but I look like a lot of different people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Is that a name on your planet?
Yeah. It's like, who cares, man?
Yeah. Go back to the Orville. Where there's just a bunch of space ass names. I'm like, hell yeah.
I've known people that have dudes that would be offended if a guy called them bud or buddy. Just random shit. Like, I hate it when someone says this, or I hate it when someone calls it a pussy and not a, I call it a hoo hoo or hoo ha or whatever. Who gives a fuck, dude? We're talking about the same thing.
And that's all settings situation. Like,
yeah.
I would say with my daughter, it's just junk. I call the undercarriage on both of them is just called their junk.
Yeah.
Or her lady bits and then freaking it's all context. You freaking different scenario, you're going to call it something different. If you get if you get with a lady and she calls it her hoo hoo in a sexual context, put your pee pee in my hoo hoo. I'd just be like, bye. Like, do.
and you got to have dirty talk, dude.
Exit stage right.
What the fuck are we doing if we can't have dirty talk? It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I'm kind of thankful.
I'm not good at it. Well, let's practice.
Yep. Do your best.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to say is some weird shit you wouldn't normally say, and it's going to turn me on more. That's how it works.
makes me the Dane Cook immediately think, again, brought him up twice in one podcast, but the my dick feels like corn. And she was amazing because she didn't miss a beat. Give me the butter, baby. Give me the butter. Just say some dumb shit that's in your head.
Yeah, just say the weird shit, man.
Yeah, go for say it. That. That's sexy. Say that.
I'm not saying on the first time you fuck, but if you're on a regular basis with somebody, get crazy. Have some fun. When I was married.
Yeah. Don't open. Don't. That's not the opening salvo. You don't.
No. No, you don't want to start with that.
Take that.
Call me the N-word.
Oh, no.
It's the only way I can come.
Lord Voldemort. You got to call me Lord Voldemort.
Dude, this is separate. So we talked about you gaming before. Can you play first person shooters or not that well?
I don't enjoy first person shooters very much. So I figured this out relatively recently. It has to do if you're colorblind or have depth perception problems.
Mm-hmm.
First person shooters can be very disorienting. And okay. I am very much so colorblind. Like to the point where I couldn't be any brand of air crew in the military. But I mean, I see colors, but apparently not like all those PIP tests that have the dots. And yeah. You people say there's a number in there. I never see even shapes that could maybe be a number.
I can't tell if you're talking about races or colors,
right? Literal colors. I'll hate you to your face if you suck as a person. I won't care how long you were left in the oven for. Like,
I'm colorblind. I don't see color. I hate that, man. When people
not liberally, medically.
I get it. I was just thinking a separate thought. Like, I just hate when people say that. I don't see color. We all see color. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Crazy. Fuck.
Like, it doesn't need to mean anything. That's the point.
Yeah. Like,
when you pretend it's not real, you're giving it a different kind of meaning. Like, it's just how you separate things. You know, that one's got brown eyes. That one's got blue eyes. Like, that one's got a beard. That one doesn't have a beard. That one has darker skin. That one has lighter skin. Like, it's a describer. It's an adjective. Yeah.
I was talking to my buddy Calvin, my black friend here in Mascoutah. I'm trying to get him on.
Racist. I have a black friend, Cal.
No, but I only have one. There's not a lot of black people in Mascoutah, believe it or not, in BFE, Illinois.
believe it or not.
But we were talking about that. When we first started hanging out, I was having some conversations, and I'm just really honest about shit. And he didn't know how to take it. And he texted me a couple days later, and he goes, "Are you like low key racist?" And I go, "No, dude." Huh? And then he's like, "Okay." And he's like, "You want to hang out?" I'm like, "Yeah." So we hang out. Well, this last Wednesday we were talking and I brought that up again. And I'm like, "No, dude, to me, racism is not saying real shit. It's not being honest. And I'm honest and I have real conversations and that's why it's different for you." And he's like, "Oh, I totally get it now." I said, "But I didn't know you that well then. It was the first time we had kind of hung out." And I'm like, "What the fuck?" Crazy how that's his interpretation or his feeling about it.
I feel like on a level you're being a brand of racist if you're not saying this or adhering to these rules because of this. Like, I can't say that because they'll be upset or they'll continue to be oppressed or whatever, whoever wants to say whatever. Just...
I mean, isn't it the same for you? At the end of the day, you just kind of want to be treated like a normal human being. You know what I'm saying? Like black, white, gay, straight, amputee. Like just, I'm just a dude. I'm just a guy.
Just what's left of a fella. And, you know, it's all good.
I wouldn't want to be treated. Anything other than being treated like a normal human would feel less than, even if people think they're propping me up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, so I'm acutely familiar with that because between being offered help and being treated like I'm incapable of anything, there's a level to be expected, and then there's a level where, like, come on, you have to realize how patronizing you're being. Like, yeah. Like there's a level, there's a baseline level that I'm not like, cause I will never be the dude from Scary Movie. You know, the I can do it myself. Like, I'll never be offended when someone wants to help me or offers help or whatever. You know, I can do it my damn self. If I got a mouth still, if I needed your help, I'd ask you for it. That, like, who the fuck? Who hurt you? There's far more wrong with you than your outer appearance. But yeah, I get it. It crosses lines. When I was talking about getting a dog, I got you getting a dog like that. And I was like, I raised two children.
Yeah, you fucking, like, asswipe.
I don't have a nurse here every other week helping me dad. Like, I raise two children solo half the time. Like, I can handle a fucking dog. Like, feed it, make sure it doesn't shit in the house. Is dog, like,
I was gonna say, dogs are so smart and adaptable too. So it's like, whether you're whether you're walking or driving a wheelchair, the dog's gonna know what to do. Like, it's fine.
Or he's gonna figure it out because
he
likes to run in front a lot. Yeah. And like, and do this crap, and I'm just like, please fucking move. Like, but and sometimes he'll go for the door and then turn around because he knows I need to get to it first. So like, I gotta I've caught paws, but I'm just, you know, I'm in, there's a baby in the house mode for 2 months now. Double check my surroundings before I move. But when I'm cooking and I'm bouncing from the stove to the thing and I haven't held still for more than 2 seconds anyways, if I get a paw, I'm just like, bro, this is entirely your fucking fault. I've said, go lay down like six fucking times. Like, and you see 500 pounds of me rolling around this kitchen, maybe go anywhere else. Yeah. There's some sharing responsibility going on here, but yeah, he's been here 2.5 months. It feels like it's been years, but he'll get with all of the programs.
Well, if you ever decide to play a first-person shooter, there's a game called Insurgent. Sorry. It's called Insurgent Sandstorm. Mm-hmm. And it's not PvP. So it can be, but you play PvE, where it's you and seven other dudes. And it's so realistic, and it's not the greatest graphics in the world, but it's so fun, dude. It's like you and seven other dudes.
You have to play with other people?
Yeah, but it's not super fast paced and hard to keep up with. It's hard. But to like,
do you like? Is it like a see who wants to join you right now thing, or you got to go in with seven friends?
No. You just jump in, and I've never played with anyone I know. And I've yet to hear anyone talk, so it would be helpful if you had seven people and everyone was communicating. But basically, it's like, you drop in, you have to get to this building, and there's a bunch of AI bad guys between you and the building. You get to the building, you capture it, then you got to hold it for a little bit sometimes, or blow up a ammo stockpile or whatever. It's just fun, and it's kind of simplistic in a sense, but it's super realistic. Slower movements, more methodical, slowly you're with your seven people and they're all near you and you're kind of working slowly forward, like taking people out, because you get shot once you're down. Like, it's not like you can get filled with lead. And if you go out, you can't come back until they capture another point. So you're just sitting and watching. So there's some like point of like, oh fuck, I don't want to die because then I got to sit and watch. So I'm going to stay alive, dude. It's a good game.
So I have played first-person shooters here and there, like Destiny was one of them, and I played it again after Lance passed, which sucks. He was awesome. I'm trying to think of other ones. I mean, obviously, I played GoldenEye with the boys when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But once the graphics got better, they got harder for me to like. Outer Planets is one that is fucking awesome. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've played it.
So no one's ever fucking heard of it. That's awesome. So I ended up locating it on like a, I checked the PlayStation deals every now and again, where it's just like, you know, get $5 games that were like fucking epic games that, cause for, there was a 10-year gap where I literally couldn't play any of these kinds of games anyway. So I definitely missed a bunch of them. And the, yeah, the Outer Planets, it's like if they turned Firefly and if they Firefly and Starship Troopers had a video game baby, like with the amount of monsters and shit you got to find, the different planets, the DLCs added like two or three extra planets.
Yeah. Like,
very, very awesome game. And I played the shit out of that one, and that was first person shooter.
Yeah. You should look into Opera.
I'll check it out for sure. Pretty good. Ooh, while we're on the subject of video games, so as you know, and as all of you can see, Pokemon has played a very big portion of my, you know, media and or video game life. I was 7 when the games came out and the cards came out, and got packs like the weekend and the game the weekends they came out. And I, you know, I had to play, figure out red version and blue version all by my lonesome. Ask my brother sometimes. Zoe's 8 and she's like shown interest in the games and like knows a lot of the Pokemon and stuff, but has never actually played one all the way. Like she's helped me. She's caught one or done this or done that. She started her very first profile on Pokemon Brilliant Diamond. And like, I'm just, her only thing is, her reading hasn't been as, it's not all the way where it needs to be right now, tutoring and stuff now. But the deal was she had to read to me all the talking bits, and that I'd help her if she needed help kind of thing. But like, she's nicknaming the Pokemon and she got her first badge today and fucking evolved her starter. And she's just, oh my God, like she's all giddy about the evolutions and I'm over here just like, I got misty earlier. That's the only reason I can hold it together now. But yeah, my inner child has been freaking out kind of all day.
I think there's something in my eye.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh no, I'm leaking. I'll cry in front of the kids anytime I need to. I tell them that you feel that feeling. Yeah, because it's gonna fuck you up if you don't feel it now.
Right.
Super. She's watched me play some of the more complicated ones too, here and there. And then whenever Let's Go Pikachu was more set up like Pokemon Go, where you had to take the controller and actually like throw the Pokeball. Yeah. And you didn't actually battle. You did trainer battles, but all the wild ones, it was catch them or run. And you had to catch a bunch of Bulbasaur to evolve a Bulbasaur. Like right. That kind of thing. But yeah, so we're not messing with that shit yet. But silly. Like she's talking shit to people, NPCs, and like little stuff that I'm just like, I said that kind of shit in my head, like when I was playing it. Like, and I just, oh, what is that? What is this? And I was judging her on a level too, because I was one of the weirdos that always thought it was weird to nickname your Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, so anyone that would nickname their Pokemon, I judge them externally. Like, there were faces were made. Like, even when I was a kid, that was just not my style. I was like, I like the Japanese dudes that made this freaking came up with cool names. Yeah. but yeah, she's nicknaming all of them. And I'm just like, well, yeah, that's a wonderful nickname. Like, it's such a good nickname. Yeah.
So she's like naming them Steve and shit. Like,
no, Piplup is the water starter. It's a penguin that turns into this big badass emperor penguin. But yeah. She named him just Pip. So it's mostly that. She named Psyduck just Psy. Geodude was just Dude. Stuff like that. So it's, yeah, she's just like, they're working way too hard, Dad. One syllable words.
That's pretty funny, dude.
But yeah, so a couple of, I like to play something until my ass is numb and I need to get up. Or like, oh shit, it's nighttime. Like, you know, which is why I don't dive hard into games anymore, because when I got the kids, I can't. Like, yeah. So I play stuff week on, week off. But because that's how my attention span works. But yeah, she'll play for like an hour or so and then go do her thing. And then, yeah, so more than once over the past it was last night she started it. I got some pics. I'll send them to you. can we play Pokemon? And I'm just like, yeah. Oh, fucking course we can.
Isn't it crazy how kids are kind of born with, they kind of develop an affection for shit that you love? I mean, it makes sense. But some of it, I think, is even bred through your DNA, dude. Like, they've done studies on rats with, I think with citrus or something, where they would shock them or something if they smelled citrus or whatever. And the babies were born with a fear of citrus. Like, there's certain shit that goes through your DNA. Think about humans with fear for spiders and snakes. You're afraid of that shit when you're a baby, because it's just bred in through years and years and generations of hey, those things can fuck you up.
When I tell you I was loading up, are you comparing me to a fucking rat? But that's a beautiful analogy and anecdote, which ties back into just everyone terrified of being wrong, being the wrong one, leading to people having just a genetic fight to be right, that we were talking about earlier. But yeah, man, she's eating it up, and I'm having a blast with it. And I was telling her stuff. I remember where some of the characters were at. She's like, oh, I need one of those. And I'm like, I'll make sure you know where that grass is whenever that part comes along. But good shit.
I can remember with both my kids, my daughter more music and my son more gaming, where it was like, they were kind of like loving the thing. My son was on the phone with me the other day, and he was like, oh man, I remember this game. And he goes, you know, there's just certain things that I just have this feeling for, because there was a time in our lives when you were playing that and I was, you know, and it might not even have been a game that I was big on. Just something I had for a minute at a time he recollects.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever it is has a deep, has an emotional attachment to it. Therefore, it weighs more.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was just talking about that again with somebody, because Heather, my girl, likes to watch me play games. And I was just like, that's a real thing? like this is something I'm going to have to feel bad for later, or like make up for. But no, and it was funny because it ended up being Pokemon. But like, yeah, we sat back here. I explained characters. She asked questions. She was intrigued as shit, and it was cool. But
I guess Twitch is huge for a reason. Mm-hmm. People like watching other people game.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was thinking about it. I'd rather play. I watch someone play. If I'm not helping you because I know the game, I'm cool with that. If I'm showing you a game,
yeah,
and like helping you get started, or like, oh my god, that's where the secret thing, blah, 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 I'm cool with that. But like, just straight up watching videos of someone play a game, not really my cup of tea. But
go ahead.
There was a vibrant memory of my mother that came back to me when she was doing that and we were talking about it. I was like, oh shit, I can remember the level and what was going on. And it is a good game, by the way. It just also has emotional attachment. But it was Kingdom Hearts, and I was playing the Peter or Neverland and fighting Hook, so we're flying and doing the Keyblade thing. And how my room was set up, the TV was kind of catty corner in the corner, and the bed, then the rest of the room. So I would sit on the foot of the bed with my legs up and over the footboard, baseboard, whatever. End fucker. And just feet dangling, which would be a problem sometimes. I'd be playing for so long that like my feet would go numb. But I remember my mom came in for the first and only time I can ever think of, where she just came back to my room and like sat down in a rocking chair and watched me play games. And she watched me beat Captain Hook in the first Kingdom Hearts game. And the whole fight. And that was intense. And I was like, yeah. And she, your feet were just going. And I was like, what? And I didn't realize the whole time my feet are just... So like anytime I fought a bad guy or something, I'd catch myself doing it, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna sit India style or something. Like, stop that. But yeah, her wanting to watch me play games unlocked a really beautiful memory from of my mother that I thanked her for that. I was like, thank you, man. Oh, man.
That's
so it was,
awesome.
It was layered with awesome.
So we talked about it before, but man, it's so important and I'm sure it's the same for females. I only know the man's perspective, but it's damn important to have a woman you love and a woman that loves you in your life. It changes what the lenses that you see everything through.
I concur with that assessment, sir. We're social creatures. No one's supposed to be alone.
No.
And alone sucks. Alone is no fun. Zero fun, sir. If I was telling it to Denzel. But yeah, no. Out of the woods for now. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm not going to fumble this one.
It's just one of those things, man. It's like you don't know how long a relationship's going to last, and you always hope forever.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get lost in that. What you do is just fucking enjoy it for as long as it goes, and hopefully forever.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, no. That's kind of the deal with me. And one of the things that is in common with us is that, where it's just like, hey, so I'm super, like, as it's going now, I'm super down for like this big life thing, that big life thing, you know? And I'm just like that. None of that means we're like this October, like, you know, we're not making plans, but like, yeah, we're leaning into it. And it's, you know, as of right now, all of that stuff is on the table and going to happen. It's just because we're both still on board. Like, yeah. So yeah, if Hot Tub Time Machine, at this point in time, everyone is on board for the cohabitated future. So
that's fantastic, man.
Everything's going to be working towards that in the grand scheme.
And I don't miss where it felt like that men were, how do I say this? Like in control of the household. I don't miss that, but I miss the simplicity of dating and relationships of old. Like, I miss when people weren't so guarded and fucking angry.
Yeah, there's absolutely there's a whole section in there between now where everyone is just, I'm out for myself and fuck you, and you only have horrible intentions, so why would I give you a shot? And like, yeah, and you know, we've known each other our whole lives, and our parents set us up when we were six, and you know, yeah. I make the home and he makes the bacon and we raise the kids. And, you know, there's obviously a huge thing between that. That, yes, where just no one is willing to put down their masks to try.
Right.
Is one of the big things is everyone's just like, oh, I must keep all my guards up and somehow still try to get to know somebody. And I'm like, that's not how this works. That just means you're going to show me a weird highlight reel of you. And then whenever you start letting down, like, you can't. I get not having all barriers down in the beginning. Right. That's stupid that you're setting yourself up for failure. If you're just going to be like, all right, I'm all in. And then it's just like, heart punch. been there, done that. Fuck it. But you have to be open to the concept of either way.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to first. I mean, the internet has not helped. The internet has made people believe that there's some kind of perfection that they can all achieve. So it's like there's no settling. And I don't think you should settle per se. I don't think it should be like, well, I don't really care for this person, but I want someone. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that everyone's got flaws. Nobody's perfect. Male, female, everyone's fucked up, but we're in a world where everybody almost expects perfection. And if you're not that, they bail because there's so much available to them. And then they forget about how terrible it is to be in the dating world or how terrible it is to be alone.
Exactly. The internet, everything, every facet of the internet is, it all comes down to the grass greener situation where everything on everything is green grass. and you're just like, man, that is some green ass grass. Like, and you know, everywhere you look, and then the second you jump that fence, you're just like, you lose them. You they're not a real person, or like they weren't in it for what you were in it for, and now you're all the fuck alone again. And God, being alone is whenever the lonely sinks in.
Mm-hmm.
Is where it's at, like the because I mean, at a certain, depending on how bad the relationship was, that sure. first little bit is awesome. You're just like, fuck yeah, out of my life, huzzah, I get to be myself again. But yeah, once it just settles in, not so much rock bottom, but where you're just like, fuck, no one's hit me up today, like no one gives a fuck what I'm doing today at all. Like yep. I haven't crossed anyone's mind today.
It's hard. It's hard to find purpose in that place. I'm in that place a lot right now, and it's hard to find purpose. You're like, what am I doing it all for? Like I listen to people or see so many people be like, I'm so happy with life, I'm happy single, and I'm happy, you know, doing, but like, bullshit. Somewhere in the back of your mind, you're building towards something. Like all that you built, like is your purpose material things? Okay, well, if that's what you all that fulfills your desires for the rest of your life, sure, be single, make a bunch of money, fucking buy all the stuff you want. But
I teach their own. If that is legitimately your goal, because that right. I mean, that's a thing too, is people aren't honest with themselves about what it is they actually want. They think they want this big, huge, crazy career, or they think they want the family first, and they just settle for the high school sweetheart and then realize that you're not the same person at 21 that you were at 18, let alone right. 28 when you were 18. So like, either y'all grow together or you're about to be two different people very quickly. Like yep. That is the most rapid cocoon butterflying situations there are, from 18 to 25, give or take. Yeah. If you're the same person you were at 18 by 28, like you've got some work to do. And obviously isolated incidents, because some 18-year-olds are better than some grown ass people that I fucking met. But I mean, in the grand scheme,
dude, the frontal lobe doesn't fully develop for men till 25 or so, and for women 21 or so. And mm-hmm. it's crazy how many people will get in a relationship at 18, 19, have a kid because their
brain's not even done, mate.
Yeah. Mm. Babies raising babies, dude, and they're like, you know. Well, I fucked up. I didn't want to be with this person. They're not the right person. Because, of course, you don't even know what the right person is at that point. So it's like now we have this epidemic of fucking fatherless children or like single parent children. And it's rough, dude. I had some girl posted on Facebook today. She's always like, she's like an Instagram model type person. And I posted some video of her crying and being like, my son's asking, is really struggling because he wants to know why he doesn't have a dad. And I'm like, that shit you should have thought about. That shit you should have thought about.
It's almost as if you had a say in that.
Right. You make a decision to go out and get with some fast dude because he's hot, and you have a, you know, you fuck and have a kid. And I just question the motives a lot of times of why people do that. Like, well, whether it's the dude or the female.
Well, and plus at 18, you don't know who you are yet.
Nope.
Like, and you're going to just try to be with someone who doesn't know who they are yet and think right. y'all both know each other. Like, yeah. Just again, there are exceptions to the rule, obviously. But
very few.
Like, yeah, 18, if you just got done living with your parents, you've never lived alone before, you've never tried to even adult before, you don't right. know how you're gonna react when you get into your own space anyways, and you're gonna immediately make that a cohabitated space with this other person who's trying to figure it all out. You might as well be going to an alien planet and just saying, we'll wing it. Like,
when you likely the majority of people at that age aren't financially stable, or they're not stable.
I know. Yeah, you're not moving out of your parents' house until fucking 25 or something now. But so shit, I moved out at 17, technically, because I went to boot camp.
but you're ticking off all the boxes. You know, first of all, if everything's in place, if you go to therapy and you're emotionally intelligent, you're financially stable, your career's settled, like your place is good, like everything's in place, and the partner that you're hooking up with also has those things in place, it's still fucking hard to make it work. Mm-hmm. So you start adding these things in there that are going to make it more complicated. And you're like, I mean, I'm dealing with it with my daughter where I'm just like, what you want right now, what you're interested in, what excites you is not stability. You want a dude because he's hot, he's fast, he's fun, he's whatever. And like that's
yeah, you're not looking at dependable and right. will, you know, has head on straight, fucking good morals, good stock, yeah. like, you know, would be a great father. Like none of those things are even on the radar right now, which I mean, you don't want half of those on the radar yet either. You're because no, I mean, right. while you don't want her to like hoe around was where my head immediately went. That's not the right thing. Play the field. Like, yeah. so, you know, not, and again, not so heroes as much either, but at the same time, you know, cause just but like, you, just like with anything else, you've got to sample. So right. you know what it is you want. And like, you can't just stick with yeah. A and think A is it because there are 23 other fucking letters.
Yeah. Or 25, whichever. Isn't there 26 letters in the alphabet?
Did I say 23?
Yeah.
Well, it's late. I hope everyone won't judge me on that one, but we can also make fun of me because I was in the Marine Corps. We can turn that into a crayon eating joke.
That's funny. No, I agree with that. Like she should safely, respectfully, you know, do those things, like, and yes. learn to do those things. And you do have to, even as far as sex is concerned, like you have to learn how to do that well. Like you shouldn't, how many people are, you know, and had one partner and they've had the same ridiculous sex for however long. And then they get out and they're like, I don't even know how to do this shit.
Yeah.
I only know how to please this one person or to be pleased by this one person. It's all part of the experience. Obviously, like I said, safely, I don't want her having a random kid at 19. I don't want her getting a lifelong disease at 19. But yeah, man, it's crazy. It's a crazy world we live in.
I don't even want to think about that shit right now because Zoe's 8 still, but
10 years. Good luck. Let's revisit. We'll still be on the air.
I mean, that shit, 14 blew by, but at the same time, it's weird. It's a fast and slow thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there are parts of when I think of her that I'm like, 2 minutes ago, she had a round, little squishy little face.
Yeah.
And you know, would only really say what you asked her nicely to say. And now she very rarely says the things you want her to say. Like, yeah. and she's looking like a little grown woman, like the cheeks are starting to thin out some, and she gets a little attitudinal, and that this thing happens sometimes, not a full eye roll, but like a, and I'm just like, oh God.
She falls through herself.
Yeah, and I'm just like, she comes by it honestly. I mean, she had attitude coming from both sides of the tree there, but fuck. Because, like, yeah. Dude, one of my favorite videos of all time of her just popped up in my new, oh man. She was 2 or 3, short, curly hair still, very round little face. But whenever they first started saying stuff, I would always ask them to say motivated things, you know, say IRS, say Marine Corps, stuff like that. But I did a video. I was like, Zoe, IRS. And she said, no, IRS. And I was like, no, IRS. And she said, no, IRS right now. Like, no, IRS. And I was just like, that's it. And I'm like, oh, man, you're not this.
That's when she changed.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first step to adulthood. That's crazy. It's funny how kids come out so goddamn helpless compared to other species. And then
it takes them forever.
And then they develop their own personality and start being like, yeah, you don't know shit, Dad. Like, fuck.
I already got a couple doses of that shit. And again, 10 and 8. And just a whole bunch of. Just, I was there, kid. Who you telling? Yeah. Don't quote the old magic to me. I was there when it was written.
They just, everybody wants to think that their experience is so vastly different, and it is, don't get me wrong, but
at the same time,
so vastly different, it's the same thing, kind of.
It is still the human condition. I mean, obviously, yeah. There's, you know, if you were raised in this kind of household, you can't compare yourself to people who were raised in this kind or that kind, but like, overall,
but with experience, when you're our age, you've experienced not only your own life, but the lives of the people around you, you know, of your friends, of your family, of people who have been brought up in different ways. So you can still share that wisdom with your children, even if it wasn't your exact experience. There's so many factors of, you know, wisdom and experience are just unmatched. If you're paying attention in life, you know, knowledge is one thing, intelligence is one thing, but wisdom and experience comes with time.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes fables and parables and psalms and all of them. They're all a story built to teach a lesson, and you can be taught the lesson from the point that you can remember. But until something happens in your life that actually makes it sink in as a truth rather than just something you were taught, then, yeah, it's when the wisdom kicks in. And the experience made you wise. But yeah, so that's shit. A lot of the stuff that I end up saying to them, the imparting knowledge and whatever else, is something that I've heard, like in music, where I heard it put that way one time. And I'm like, oh shit, that put words to the feeling that I couldn't articulate. So like a lot of the stuff I end up saying, I could quote the movie or the TV show that I like got the, you know, that I'm paraphrasing from and I'm just like, you know what? I don't care how I got there. I'm teaching them good things and I'm hopefully they'll use it and be good people. So
I try to tell that to my kids a lot where I'm like, look, I still don't always set the best example with some things, but some things that I talk to you about aren't because I did it right. It's because I did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do it right in order to learn. I can learn from doing the wrong thing, especially in my youth, where I wish I would have taken different paths with things.
But at the same time, they made you who you are.
Right. So we're getting pretty close to done time, but I had I had something I wanted to ask you, completely different off the subject.
All right.
So with all what's going on, I don't know if you've kept up with the news and you're keeping up with Iran and Israel lobbing missiles back and forth.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, Israel bombed a consulate building. Is that what it's called? In Jordan or somewhere that had Iran generals in it, and they died. So Iran gives 72 hours notice that they're going to form some kind of attack. Lobbed 300 combination of missiles/drones at Israel, which were all taken down, almost all of them, were shot out of the sky by
anti-aircraft and whatnot.
They, whatever they call the something shield, whatever defense system that they have over there, which is all U.S. shit. So the U.S. has been weird about the whole thing. I don't want to get in the political side of it. I don't give a fuck right now. That would be a different podcast. But what I want to know is when you're both in the place of where you're at, where you're not going to go back and fight for our country, or the place of somebody who is currently in the military, but not overseas, or perhaps, you know, somewhere safe overseas. When you're seeing things like that develop and you think that at some point there might be a war where we actually have to get involved in, what's the general feeling about that?
It comes down to what we do. Because again, I was not a general. I was not a colonel. I was not a sergeant major. I was not running shit. I was a ground pounder. I was in the dirt, right, moving rocks. So the why of it all never crossed my fucking mind. Everyone's always with the whole, like, how do you feel fighting war for opium or for this or for that, or line some greedy man's pockets? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not what I did. I didn't do that. Like
I just did the job that was asked of me.
I was gonna say I did what I had to do to keep Marine A and Marine B alive, and that was my job, and my life was to ensure that my boys made it home. And the end. I never got to a point where those sort of things weighed on me any. So it would come down to, we wouldn't end up doing a draft. I'd have feelings about it then when people who didn't want to go. But if something kicks off tomorrow anywhere else, the people they're going to send are going to be hard chargers who are ready and signed up for it and, you know, had that intention. So I hate to say it's part of the plan, but like, I was part of the reaction force, basically, that would go do work if work needed to be done. So
it makes sense that you have to be trained. You have to train your military to be prepared for these things. And if you've went through all this training to do these things, when that situation arises, you want to do the fucking best job you can do. You're ready to fucking get in there and do the job. It makes sense. It's just, I just wonder if there's ever, like, if people, you know, an average Marine or an average Army, just a, you know, a boots on the ground kind of guy, is watching the news going, oh, fuck. So, or if they're like, let's go.
Well, and just what you told, and again, it's probably not good, but I actively avoid that shit as far as knowing what's going on with what, because one, again, the politics of it is the only thing you're hearing at that point. And I know that them saying the Iranian generals were hit and Iran is understandably pissed, because if our generals got whacked, I hope we would fucking do exactly that. So, like, I can't be mad at Iran for that at all. Because that is the precise course of action I would expect from us if it was American generals that were taken down. So, but when I watch that kind of stuff, that is all, you know, bombs here or this happened, so now this might happen. It's in my brain, it's all filed under above my pay grade. So it's just, you know, someone's going to have to go do work. It's just kind of.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No, it ended up, it was weird. It was strange, though, because Iran gave them 72 hours notice. The U.S. had given Iran some kind of parameters to follow if they were going to respond, and they followed those parameters. They didn't really go all out with the attack. And then they issued a message and said, hey, we responded to what happened to our generals. We're done. If you don't retaliate, we're done. We're not doing it again. It was really strange. So Israel did respond, but they made some kind of fairly small attack or whatever, and it seems like it could fizzle out, but it's like also
that seems like a you thumped us, we're thumping you back, and you need to not, like, you've earned this one, so don't do something stupid in response to this, which you've earned. Like, I kind of get that, where, like, that's kind of, that reminds me of the old school, like, more honor based shit. Like, where, what's a good example? Troy, the movie Troy, Brad Pitt. When Hector accidentally killed Patroclus when he thought it was Achilles. And everyone's just like, one, everyone just let them fight. No one stabbed Achilles in the back while he was fighting Hector. But as soon as they realized it was Garrett Hedlund's character, not Brad Pitt, they were all just like, that's enough for today. And everyone's just like, yep, you're right. And then, all right, back to the city. All right, back to the ships. Like, and then, when one of them was killed, they had the, 10 days of peace to mourn the passing and stuff. Like, and I'm just like, that's what that reminds me of, where it's like, hey, so you fucked up and you killed a couple of our generals. So we're doing this, deal with it. Like, don't get stupid. This is, you earned this.
It was surprisingly kind of respectable the way they went about it. Not that I'm generally in Iran's corner or Israel's corner.
No, and again, I'm not speaking in support of anyone specifically, but like, that notion makes perfect sense to me, and I overall like it.
Yeah.
That's kind
of, yeah, it just sucks how unstable that whole area has been for our entire lives and probably
the whole time.
Crazy.
Just the whole fucking time.
And I understand why the U.S. has to get involved sometimes, but there are times like now where I feel like we just need to butt the fuck out. Where we get, they're sending billions of our tax dollars to do shit that we don't agree with constantly. I was saying earlier, and I never got to the point. Sorry. I saw this chart of all the politicians that are going to make millions of dollars off of a war because of what companies they've invested in. So it's such a conflict of interest where it's like, hey, you're voted into office to do what's best for our country. Yet you've invested in all these companies that are going to make mass amounts of money when you go to war.
Yeah, and now none of that
war for reasons we don't all believe in.
It's none crazy. Of that should be even possible.
No, no, like, and yet
that shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, it's Democrats and Republicans both. It's not one or the other. They're both making a ton of money off of it. So anybody that thinks it's, oh yeah, it's the right wing. No, it's the left wing too. It's both. It's crazy. How we keep voting these fucking piece of shit people in office is beyond me, man.
Well, and term limits for Congress, fucking, they shouldn't be able to make more than the median income of their state or district or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and if you want to make more, make your people make more.
That makes a lot of sense.
Kind of thing.
As far as term limits on Congress, dude, what's so crazy about that? Is it just gives you an idea of how much of a democracy this is not. Because though Democrats and Republicans generally disagree on most things, the majority of both agree there should be term limits, yet there's not. Why? Because it's not really a democracy. They're really running it however the fuck they want. So at some point, we all got to fucking figure out how to come together and fix that shit. It's
crazy. Oh, I know. Like, yeah, I'm hoping that just like all the cancel culture went way too fucking hard in the paint and everyone's just kind of like, yo, calm down. Like everyone, let's just all be good people and we'll just meet in the middle somewhere. I think that all of the government corruption stuff is all, it's just so blatantly being done.
Yep.
It's now literally just in your face where it's like, hey, this is literally illegal and we're just doing it.
Yep.
What
are you going to do about it?
And yeah, then, like, I'm hoping that it doesn't require a revolution eventually. Like, I'm hoping that because all these people are, like, 8.5 minutes from their deathbed, that within the next cycle or two, we'll start cleaning out this fucking old decrepit shit that has been in the seat for 40 goddamn years and hasn't done a single solitary fucking positive thing and start getting fresh minds in there. At this point, I wouldn't mind, like, what they stand for isn't even something that's going to, that would weigh. Someone who is passionate, speaking their mind, wanting to speak their side of it rather than like just fucking, I don't know, have everyone hail them and become rich as fuck out of it. Like, no, like, I want people who want to fucking fix shit. Like, I don't care if they're fixing shit the wrong way in my head. Like, just people who aren't trying to swindle everybody.
The problem is that
I could not get the right words out. I'm so sorry on that part.
Let's say you were going to go into politics with that mindset. You know, how long would you last before they would
eat me alive or turn me in for someone who could fucking play the game or I know that that's why part of it is it's hard for the people with the big voices who want to make the good changes to get in there because that will lighten a lot of pockets, therefore they're getting blocked like a motherfucker that's why, again, in a lot of the next couple cycles, man, I just, you know, there's, I can name like 8 off the bat that like should have died last week. To old age, die of old age. That was not a death threat by any stretch of the imagination at all. I was like, wait, that sounded bad for a second. My bad. But
like, no, I knew what you meant.
Yeah. There's majority. I just, when the accepted retirement rate is what, 65 or something, and then like the average age in Congress is like 80 or like 75 or some shit, like, in just okay, so you're exclusively running the country when you say that those people can't work.
I would definitely say that, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that wisdom and experience do apply for something, but past a certain point, it's kind of like an athlete. You know, an athlete, when they come into the league, let's say whatever league, 18 years old, their body is as good as it's going to be, dude. By the time you hit like 28, from 28 to 32 as an athlete is supposedly the best window of where your body's still at its best, and now your wisdom and experience is at its best. Mm-hmm. Or not, maybe not at its best, but the best balance of the two.
Yeah.
But once you hit 32, your body starts to fall off. And now you, maybe even you're growing in experience and wisdom, but you're still not, don't have the same capacity to play at the same level. Yeah. And I feel like it's the same with people. Yes, wisdom and experience are important, but at a certain point, you hit a certain age where it's like, all right, love your wisdom and experience, but all the rest of the shit's going to the dropping off.
Well, and shit, and so much of it isn't even wisdom anymore. It's just like, you've been playing the game so fucking long that you're terrified to get out. Like, you have to set up your third great grandkid with a bazillion dollars, like that, off the fucking backs of child labor in another country or some shit. I don't fucking know.
Or just off the back of the fucking working class in this country. Is where it's what it's really truly from.
I just don't get it. Yeah, the, none of that shit.
It's sad.
Gives me a headache.
It's just, I just don't see it. There's any end in sight anytime soon, and everybody keeps fighting over whose idiot's the best. And it's like, when are you going to take a step back and realize we're all being fucking honey dick, dude? We're all being honey dicked. It's time to fucking come together and be like, no more honey dicking.
that's the sign I can get behind.
On that note, let's fucking wrap this bitch up. You're looking like you're ass out, doggy.
My bad.
No, you're good. You've been holding up.
I'm sorry. I was say I hit one at one point. I was like, oh no, what?
Dude, Lance sent us a text earlier. We should mention. He was like, we need to prop up some SFH because they're trying to hit a number or something. What was it?
Oh, the Facebook page specifically, right?
Yeah,
He
said they were close to 5,000.
Okay, so yeah, SFH has a goal of 5,000 followers on our Facebook page and Instagram before May. So if everyone would do us the favor of making sure you've liked both the Instagram page and the SFH page, which you'd have to search We Are SFH on both of them. And then and if you want to look into the website and check out our clothes, that's wearesfh.com.
Yeah, and you can both for the podcast and for SFH itself, sharing it on social media does a great deal. It takes you a click 100%. And it does a lot for us.
And we would truly appreciate your help.
Very, very much so. Also, if you want to donate, it's the Cash App is Polk Podcast. Nothing else. We'll have a guest on next week. I think every couple of guests, we're going to just me and you. I kind of like just chopping it up with you every once in a while.
For sure, yeah. It's kind of refreshing, a little bit of a palate cleanse.
Yep, I kind of like it. I'm going to start numbering them, I think, or something. I'm going to figure out a way to like denote what's different. Because right now it just says Ty and Zach, Ty and Zach, Ty and Zach.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Ty and Zach 4, Ty and Zach 5, something like that.
The time Ty's lights didn't work.
Well, that way, if we talk about something we want to reference later, we can be like, hey, go check out Ty and Zach 7.
Yeah, sex, drugs, and politics.
We try to cover the gamut, you know.
Get it.
Anyway, hopefully you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, please share it. That does so much every week that you share it, and we get one new follower. It's fucking fantastic. Still really enjoying it. Hopefully you are too. And we're glad that you are still fucking here.
Still fucking here.